Chuck Buster's near miss in Week 6 led to the upset of the year thus far in Week 7, conquering the mighty Privateers. Meanwhile, in the Hammer, we're back to a four-way logjam for the lead as Jamie heads the division by virtue of math. We're halfway through the season where everyone is still in playoff contention, and absolutely nothing is clear. From the very hot virtual studios, it's the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League Sports Desk Championship Edition.
Good evening, everybody. Mike Irizarry with Gary Godso and Jamie Johnson. And if you are an owner in our Hama division, I hate you.
I hate the division.
Right back at you, Mike. Right back at you.
Congratulations to Ty Sams of the Chuck Busters. He took a bit of a pounding on the show week after week. They've won two in a row. They're looking good. They're on a roll. Determined to play spoiler for the rest of the season. So I gave a little bit of a post on week 7. We'll kind of let that go. The Chuck Busters had really the win of the week there over the first place and cruising along Darklonia Privateers, who were, you know, riding high on the Tom Brady victory tour. But we'll get to them as we review week 8, because they're certainly in the news. What do you say we get to that, gentlemen?
Here we go.
Start the music. And we'll take a look at the game of the week first this time. We'll switch it up a little bit because the game of the week sets up every other thing we're going to talk about. The Paris Nanomites throwing 136 on the board over the suddenly slumping Darklonia Privateers, who put up a respectable 102 this week. Just he's run into the buzzsaw these last 2 weeks. Been a tough couple of losses for Brian Greenwood's squad. In short, Debbie had a great week with her roster, but Drew Brees had 56 points. Drew Brees had 56.7 touchdowns, 500 yards, and only one pick. And that's what that means for you. It looked, when play closed on Sunday night, it actually had him at 59 and found excuses to take points away for whatever reason. We will be playing who didn't outscore Drew Brees for the rest of the evening. That was a fun game to watch. Even for my team losing it, it was a fun game to watch. Gentlemen, your reactions to Drew Brees, the man who, I have to remind us, we all mocked it when Debbie picked him.
We did.
All three of us. We all said, past his prime, bad team. Well, and I'm not saying the Saints are not a good team, but Drew Brees is far from finished. Jamie Johnson.
I'm going to say that was bandwagoning mocking for the Marshawn Lynch pick. But isn't really much you can do about 56 points. It looks like from a Darklonia standpoint, the Devontae Freeman 35 points a week train maybe have stabilized down to 13 to 15. So, I mean, 102 is a heck of a week, and that'll usually get you the win. But as you'll see, 100 points lost twice this week, but we'll get there later. Not that I'm bitter.
Drew Brees led the parade at 56 points, but Debbie had a host of players in double figures. Deion Lewis for New Orleans had 16 in the flex spot. Greg Olsen in Carolina had a big game against the Colts, had 13. DeQuell Jackson for the Colts against the Panthers had 14 out of a defensive spot, which is a big week. The Rams defense chipped in again for 13 points. Dan Bailey, the Dallas kicker, was the Dallas offense 13 points in the kicker spot.
Well, that Rams 13 points was a pretty easy 13 points against a horrible Colin Kaepernick.
That's the worst team in football right now. Those guys are terrible. Blaine Gabbert taking the reins next week for the 49ers to give you an idea of where things are there. Meanwhile, Darklonia headed up again by the Tom Brady F*** You Revenge Tour. 38 points out of Tom Brady.
Revenge for what?
It's just what it is, man. It's just what it is. Devontae Freeman still had 13. DeAndre Hopkins, 15. 10 points for Brandon Marshall in the flex spot. Not a bad week. As Jamie said, 102 is going to get it done most of the time. That's twice in a row. 2 weeks in a row, Darklonia has taken a loss, throwing up triple figures, just running into the wrong team at the wrong time. And we'll move forward, because playing in the game against Drew Brees was, of course, Eli Manning and the Giants, who came out on the short end of that game in real life. But also, at the big part of the conversation, as Fort Wadsworth took on Gary's Boss Fight T-shirt, Fort Wadsworth with a win 133 over Gary's Boss Fight T-shirt 104 in the Battle of the Co-Hosts. Eli Manning, 50 points, 350 yards, 6 touchdowns, no picks. Just a beast of a game. Nothing you can do about that one. Jamie Johnson, how do you feel watching your boys throw up 104 despite Aaron Rodgers being terrible and nothing to show for it?
Hey, I'm still in first place by math.
First place by math despite losing to two in the division.
Scoreboard.
Well, I'll give Jamie the scoreboard right now. It could have been a much tighter game if Eli continued to keep throwing to ODB. Because every time I kept hearing another touchdown pass in the car, because I was listening to this game in the car, it's like, Eli, ODB, touchdown. And I'm like, come on, stop giving the man points. But eventually he did find other receivers, and it did happen to work out well for me. I do remember earlier in one of our podcasts, Jamie did say something along the lines of, this would be the game, this game right here, that Eli would go off and get big points. So our prophet is Jamie this week.
Gary Gatso, tell us about Eli Manning.
No turnovers, consistent play, a consistent fantasy player. What can I say?
Who was it that said that was your man?
That was you, Mike.
That's right. That was me. 17 points for the Gronk, helping to lead the charge again, and just okay performances at everybody else. 91's a good score.
A lot of nines.
You're not setting the world on fire. Lots of eights, lots of nines. You know, the always good decision to sit Nick Foles after a Rams win, because the Rams don't do winning streaks. They do wins, but they don't do winning streaks. So how do we feel after four or five, I forget how many couch bowls you've won in a row at this point?
What's on your mind, four in a row? We actually went back in history, and we found the first couch bowl that I beat her at, and I beat her by 10. She loved me digging up that piece of history. How do I feel? 91 points. Anytime you get close to 100, I feel good. I think I have a team that could make the playoffs this year. It's still early. I still have to get through Jamie's Boss Fight t-shirts.
Gary, don't worry. I'll score 109, but that week you can have 154.
Thank you, buddy.
No problem, buddy.
That'll be the week that Gronk goes for 200 yards and five scores.
I got you, Gary.
Thank you.
Eli Manning setting the record with 8 touchdowns in the first half. What week do you play, Jamie?
I don't know.
We need to go ahead and just warn the opponent that the Giants will have that week. That's the week that Eli is going to light them up.
Okay.
Watch it turn out to be like somebody really good.
Let's tell the poor New Orleans Saints in week 8 that Eli's going off.
Wow. That actually could happen. That New Orleans secondary is dipped in kerosene.
Where's it at?
Doesn't matter. New Orleans is bad. Doesn't matter. I'm not saying the Giants leave and win that game necessarily, but yeah, the torching is going to happen. So get ready for that, Jamie. Yes. Jamie gets to balance out making fun of Drew Brees by calling Eli Manning's shot back before the season started, realizing that Eli Manning would in fact lead Gary's team to the win over his own. So kudos, Jamie Johnson.
Well, ultimately, I'm going to hang this loss on Aaron Rodgers. 6 points. Good Lord. Kaepernick had more. Good God, man.
But also for the Warriors in this game, Manning with 50, of course. Brandon Cooks, the New Orleans receiver, had 21. Yeah, who knew? 17 for Gronk. 19 for Willie Snead, the other New Orleans receiver. 10 points out of the Panthers' defense. So good scoring from the bench units there. Gary's Boss Fight t-shirt, of course, stretched out. 31 points from ODB. 3 touchdowns for ODB in the loss. Somehow, Dwayne Harris is not on anybody's roster yet. I imagine that is different today. Yeah, 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. I gotta figure he's somewhere off the waiver list by now. Ronnie Hillman for Denver with 18. 12 points for Jay Stu in Carolina's win. Patriots defense coming forth with 15 big points against the hapless Dolphins last Thursday. So good scoring for Jamie. Balanced scoring, and if anything had come out of Rodgers last night, maybe it's a different story. But that's a tall order against that Denver defense.
And the good news, Jamie, you can cut Joseph Randall and get another player.
All that means is, so far at the waiver wire, whoever I want, Debbie will pick up before I will. 3 times so far this year. 3 times.
Got beat by Mass. I know what it's like.
I just wanted to take a note there, too, that Gary's backup quarterback is Alex Smith. 30 points on the bench for Fort Wadthrow.
A rich quarterback week for the Warriors.
Yeah, the Warriors were going to light somebody up somehow this past weekend, and it just didn't matter who. But moving forward, we'll go to some of the dud games. The Springfield Teal Ninjas, 84, with a comfortable win over Charlottesville. Only putting 36 on the board.
Hey, Mike, did Breeze outscore Charlottesville?
I believe so. I believe both Breeze and Eli Manning outscored the Charlottesville no logins.
That's pretty bad, Dan.
It is. You're killing us, Uthman. Of course, Dan Uthman started 2 guys on byes. And Anquan Boldin, who missed the Rams game with an injury, and then had the Jets defense throw up a -4. He started 3 guys who didn't play, and they still weren't the worst scoring spots on his team. But 84 points out of the Teal Ninjas, it's not a bad total considering Matthew Stafford, they only had 8 at the quarterback spot. Todd Gurley is going to carry that club. 20 easy points out of Todd Gurley, and not much else going besides Broncos defense, second leading scorer with 11 points for Springfield. Really nothing going on. Matt Ryan with 22 of Charlottesville's 36 points. Ouch. Does Dan Huffman listen to this? Clearly he does not.
No.
Clearly he does not. You're a
Can I point out?
Nothing. Terrible. 1-7. Terrible.
Can I point out that I would have beat both these teams?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay. You had individual guys that would have beat them.
I know Gary's bench would have beat the Keel Halls.
Gary's bench would have lit up the Keel Halls. Yes, 36 points. Just Alex Smith at 30. Moving forward, tough game for the Dreadnoughts, pulling one out over Oregon Outpost 788. It is 95-62. The score, Zach Hoffman had to drop 3 in a row to even out. Now he's 1-2 in a row again. So we will start the talk of us being grifted. He's going to run into some problems, though. As it was, he's riding the Derek Carr train, which is not a bad place to be. He's got that Raiders offense pumping.
Well, he has rode the Le'Veon Bell train.
Yeah, he was riding the Le'Veon Bell train. That train pulled into the station. We are done there, and that's going to be a problem for a team that's already a little thin at the skill positions. He's got Larry Fitzgerald. Mark Ingram had a nice game for the Saints, because everybody on the Saints had a nice game. But there wasn't a whole lot else going on. Richard Rodgers, I guess, is a guy who could potentially get some points at the tight end spot, but you don't want to be relying too much on tight ends. Meanwhile, 62 for Oregon Outpost, 788. Bad week there. Ben Roethlisberger was back, 7 whole points. 16 points for Demaryius Thomas, who bounced back pretty well from last week's drop fest, and not much else going on for the Outpost. Jamie Johnson, you're our fantasy football expert. Do you have any advice for these two guys who are both starved for scores, particularly in the flex spots?
Well, the first thing is I would break up the Seattle wide receiver monopoly that the Dreadnoughts have. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Seattle wide receivers, but having all three might be a little much.
Jamie, they're called the Dreadhawks for a reason.
Oregon Outposts. It's just one of those, man. Jason Witten will be back as soon
as
Romo's back. The Oregon Outposts, they're in the Hammer Division, so just hang out.
Don't lose too much, and you're in it.
Right, but ultimately, his skill positions are hurt because of their quarterback situations. T.Y. Hilton and Jason Witten, as Andrew Luck gets better, Hilton will be back, and Jason Witten will be back. I wouldn't worry too much. Might want to upgrade. The cornerbacks just don't score a whole lot of defensive points. Might want to upgrade from Tyrone. We all love the Honey Badger, but, you know, there's plenty of linebackers out there that get 8 to 10 tackles a night. So, and J.J. Watt's out there, so.
Yeah, which surprises me. For the defensive lineman, he's kind of the one guy that makes sense. Honey Badger has some weeks where he piles up some tackles. There's some weeks where they kind of play him like a safety. This was not one of those weeks. They needed him too much to match up in the secondary this week. But we'll move forward. New England no logins. Justin Bell's team. 49 points, falling meekly to the Buffalo Wild Bills, who get up to 5-3 and keep pace in the Dixon.
Hey, Mike, I think Breeze would outscore Justin.
Yes, there too. Eli Manning as well. So again, two quarterbacks would have outscored Justin Bell on their own. For the fight in Justin's, 30 points out of Phillip Rivers out of 49. Justin had 3 players on bye week in the starting lineup.
Here's the stat of the week. Justin's bench outscored him.
Yeah, Justin's bench outscored Justin's starters 58 points to 49. As Justin, now that Alshon Jeffrey is playing, Justin had sat him. And 36 points out of Carson Palmer against the hapless Browns. And not helping the Bells, the Lions defense, which was on the wrong end of a 45-10 pasting in merry old England Sunday morning, was only a 0. Actually kind of got off easy by getting a 0 there. I swore that was going to be a negative points game. But yes, Justin Bell's bench outscoring the New England Bazookas proper, as well as Eli Manning singular and Drew Brees singular.
And keep in mind, folks, we only have 4 players on our bench.
Yeah, yeah.
One of which was in a bye.
Yeah.
On Justin's team.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin's bench would have beat Drew Brees.
Barely.
True.
Barely. But yes, the combined might of Carson Palmer, Golden Tate, and Alshon Jeffrey would have taken down Drew Brees just barely. Wild Bills, meanwhile, really solid outing, 94 points. Left it all on the field. Nobody scoring on the bench for them last week. 21 out of Cam Newton in the win. Julio Jones at 20. 16 for C.J. Anderson out of big week for Denver with a couple of scores. 11 points out of Blair Walsh from Minnesota, who nailed the game winner against the Bears. Just decent production all the way up and down the lineup there for Buffalo. 94 is going to win you most games, and so they went and took care of business.
Now, if there's some teams out there that are looking to upgrade at quarterback, and there's a few of them because you're in the Hammer Division, so you've still got a chance. If you can get a hold of Justin Bell, you might be able to get Carson Palmer from him.
You never know.
I'm good. I don't need to trade Justin for another pick this year. I'm good.
We're moving forward to a couple of guys who are actively playing. Chuck Buster's on a roll, 97 over the Horror Show, 55. Horror Show drops them to 4-4. Chuck Buster's up to 2-6 after starting on the 0-6 Schneid. So good showing by Ty Sams, coming back strong. 20 points out of Julian Edelman for the Chuck Busters. 15 from Andrew Luck. Well, 15 from Andrew Luck's fourth quarter. 11 points out of Gary Barnidge, who is the out-of-nowhere player of the year. Navarro Bowman, the San Francisco linebacker, was on the field an awful lot against the Rams. Managed to get 13 points out of it. Brandon McManus for Denver, 10 points there as well. Meanwhile, for the poor Horror Show, that was probably Peyton Manning's best game in a month. He still only got him 10 points. Luke Kuechly, 20 points leading the way for the Horror Show. And Chandler Catanzaro, and I know you're all saying, who? Is the Arizona Cardinals kicker. He was good for 11 points. Packers defense lit up for the -4. So this podcast playing better than the Packers defense last week. 55 all told. You want to talk about a team that's really having problems at the skill spots. You want to talk about the Horror Show. And they've scored fewer points than anybody else in the league. Unfortunately, this is not a team with a great answer at quarterback. Because if you sit Peyton Manning, you're going to Sam Bradford. And that might be the one situation that you don't want to sit Peyton Manning for. Benjamin Watson is on their roster. You got to play that guy, man. That's 20 points, and they're not going to stop feeding him the football. He's been getting pretty consistent for the last 3-4 weeks now. That is 20 points this weekend, 5 against the Colts, only 18 the week before that, 9 against the Eagles before that. So Ben Watson has become a pretty solid play, either as a tight end or as a flex player, and we need to work him in the lineup. Meanwhile, looking at the Chuck Busters bench, 42 points, so everybody's producing. Charcandrick West, the Kansas City back, is going to get touches, 17 points just sitting around there. But truthfully, I don't know who you sit in his place. Lamar Miller managed to save his day and get a touchdown. You didn't expect the Patriots defense to necessarily do that to him.
Well, he could sit Steve Smith Sr.
Yeah, Steve Smith.
He's done. Away. That train is also pulled into the station.
Right next to the Le'Veon Bell train, yes.
Right there, same station. You could put West right in that spot if you want to.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs is emerging as Teddy Bridgewater's favorite target in Minnesota. He had 15 points last week in the win against the Bears there, so couple options for the Chuck Busters moving forward, and they still had a pretty good week. 97 points is going to win most games. They had over 100 last week, so Chuck Busters are putting together a nice second half so far. Jamie Johnson, your thoughts?
I think the Horror Show, in ordering two defensive players and two defensive defenses, the waiver wire's kind of low, but at this point in time, Luke Kuechly and the Packers defense, I know they had a bad week, but might be time to let a couple, you know, we're carrying two extra defensive units isn't going to get you if you're starting Ameer Abdullah, Kendall Wright, and Alfred Blue.
Yeah, it's a little heavy carrying four defensive players in a spot.
Use one for trade bait.
Yeah, it might be worth dangling some defensive talent out there as trade bait. But looking forward to our last game from last week, the RHP is keeping pace in the Dixon, winning to push themselves up to 6-2 over Pyramid of Touchdowns. The score there was 78-75. This one came down to
field goal win.
Basically, yeah. We were kind of counting yards for Ted Ginn in last night's Monday night game against the Colts. If he had caught that touchdown ball,
this game would be over.
Yeah, Pyramid of Touchdowns would have had the win coming down the last minute there. That easy touchdown catch that he bricked off his hands that reminded you why Ted Ginn Jr. has played for 7 different NFL teams.
It's only 3?
No. He's played for the Rams, the Dolphins, the Niners, and the Panthers off the top of my head. So it's at least 4. And I'm pretty sure there's been a stop or two in between. He was a Colt for a couple of weeks. But the RHP's a tough week out of the Red Rifle, only 9 points. AJ Green, though, on the other end of that, was leading the way with 17. Bengals defense with 11. And Travis Kelce, the Kansas City tight end, finally reappeared after that week one explosion. Finally got in the end zone again, got up 10 points. Led the way in an off week for the RHP. RHPs usually score a pretty good amount of points. They are on watch as well, as Matt Forte is probably going to be out for a few weeks with that.
Yeah.
So up steps Duke Johnson Jr.
For everyone listening at home, Ted Ginn, 3 years with Miami, 3 years with San Francisco, a year with Carolina, a year with Arizona, and then another year back with Carolina.
Four.
Okay. Well, the Colts did have him in camp or something. I remember him wearing a Colts jersey for some reason. And I know the Rams had him and got rid of him. So that might have been another stop where he just didn't play. I mean, that dude was almost out of the NFL on a couple of occasions. I'm not backing off of my Ted Ginn stance. If somebody could help me out with that, we would read your letter on the air. No one's listening to this. Anyways, pyramid of touchdowns, 15 points out of Russell Wilson. He fills into his role as terrible fantasy quarterback who wins a lot. 14 points out of the Chiefs defense, thumping the lowly Lions. 11 from Gostkowski in New England, because New England kicker's always good for a few shots. 10 points out of Darren McFadden. Is it 2008 again? What happened here?
That is the everyday back now for Dallas.
He will be fantastic for the 3 weeks before his knee explodes.
Yes.
As how that goes. So that's the scoreboard for week 8. Let's move over, look at the standings. A little bit of shakeup in the Dixon. We'll get to them first, because they're far less interesting, because people actually win and lose in that division. But the Teal Ninjas have taken over. They are sitting in the catbird seat at 6-2. They've got the tiebreaker over the RHPs, who kept pace in second. RHPs can't catch a break. Either you're losing tiebreakers to the Privateers, or you're losing tiebreakers to the Teal Ninjas.
Or you're losing by half games to the Warriors.
Or you're losing half games to the Warriors to keep you out of the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Either way, I mean, just no luck for Rock Mastrangelo. Lots of love, no luck. Privateers down to 5-3 after, like we said before, a tough two-game losing streak. Tied with the Buffalo Wild Bills and the Dreadnoughts. Zach Hoffman's team fighting, hanging tough. Car Show still in it at 4-4, and the Chuckbusters refuse to go away. Ty Sams put on the group message board that he is determined to play spoiler. It is official. He is coming for you. 2-6 at the bottom of that division. Hoping Ty has some continued good luck. Meanwhile, in the Hama, I hate you all. despite not beating any of the other teams in the division, Jamie Johnson and Gary's Boss Fight T-shirt has the tiebreaker.
Okay, hey man, I'm 3-1 in the division. That's why I have the tiebreaker.
True. I think you've outscored everybody, too.
He has me by 6.
You've outscored everybody else in that mess. You're not the highest scoring team in the league, because that is, of course, Darklonia, led by the Tom Brady F*** You Revenge Tour.
But Jamie also has given up 767 points.
No defense at the t-shirt, but you know, it's just one ply cotton fibers. So
first place, negative point differential. Woo!
How it goes when you're 4-4. You might as well just rename yourself to the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, I'm gonna bring out the flare back.
My post on Facebook today was our friend George Greeno is a big Panthers fan and posted about Panthers winning the game. And my reply to that was, and with the loss, the Colts sew up the AFC South. Clinching the playoff spot for the AFC South with the loss.
Tell you, they're going to go to the playoffs 6-10.
If they're lucky at this point. Holy cow, that team is terrible. They're still the best team in that division, but they suck. Anyways, Gary's Boss Fight T-shirt at 4-4. Fort Wadsworth inching in just behind at 4-4. Debbie's Paris Dynamites on a hot streak. They've won 3 out of 4 to get themselves to 4-4 and be in the middle of the mix. Looking at the roster, you kind of like Debbie's team going forward. We made fun of her an awful lot back in the draft special, but you know she might have the last laugh on this one.
Hey, Mike, just to help to save you time, wouldn't it just be easier to say the Hammer Division 4-4? Wouldn't it just be easier to do that?
It's not, because we do have the no logins to admonish at the bottom of it.
Okay.
Oregon Outpost 788 at 4-4, playing host to Gary's Boss Fight T-shirt this week. Well, we're definitely going to have some more shakeup of some kind. Watch Gary and Debbie both go out and tie, just to give a big double deuce to this league on a whole. And despite only logging in once and making terrible moves when he did it, Justin Bell and the New England Bazookas only a game back, 3-5. Started 3 guys on byes last week, gentlemen. 3 guys on byes.
He has lost his last 4.
3-5. and Pyramid of Touchdowns, who is playing the game legitimately, sadly, tied at 3-5. But don't worry about that. We'll give you the nod in the power rankings because we know Josh Morgan logs in. And lastly, 1-7, now at the bottom of the heap for the league, the Charlottesville Keel Hauls. Dan Uthman, 1-7. Losers of 7 in a row.
Come on, man.
Come on, man!
Come on, Dan Uthman. Gary, you got his personal email, don't you?
He's going to have to get email.
Don't we have to light him up on Twitter or something?
We're going to have to.
This is ridiculous. How many guys did he start on buys last week? 9? 8?
3? 4? I don't know. For some of our Twitter followers, go ahead, just spam Uthman and guilt him into actually adjusting his lineup. But don't do it this week, because I play him.
Run some shit at Dan Uthman. We endorse it. Just be sure to hashtag WOJM.
Let's look at next week's schedule.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's go back to the scoreboard for next week. Let's see what's coming up. So we've already said game of the week for the Hama. Gary's Boss Fight t-shirt visiting the Outpost and Aaron Refield. Jamie Johnson, any thoughts going into this one?
I'm really hoping Aaron Rodgers can bounce back after that sucky-ass week.
You are a heavy favorite in this game.
Yeah, but he's got two guys on bye, so once he fills those in. I love Calvin Johnson, but he's on bye. So I'm hoping Aaron Rodgers can bounce back and we can get that winning formula of winning by 4 points. You want to keep that negative point differential for the win. That's the dream.
Yeah, you got Ronnie Hillman flying out of Denver this week, so that may not be a good start for you if you can avoid it. He's been terrible on the road for whatever reason.
Yeah, but he's going against the Colts, so I'm good.
250 yards. Just call him Ronnie Blunt. Anyways, we already touched base. Charlottesville heading to Fort Wadsworth, the 1-7 Keel Hauls against the 4-4 Warriors. Gary Godso, how are you preparing for this game?
I am preparing by seeking out a kicker on the waiver wire that hopefully will be awarded to me come tomorrow. I feel good about my lineup, and I'm ready to go. Even though it has me as a, for some reason, as an underdog, I'm ready to go.
Dan Uthman, wherever you're at, log in. Let's do this.
The answer is you're preparing for this game by actually logging in.
You know what? I'm beating Chuck.
You are beating Chuck. But you know who's not beating Chuck? Dan Uthman. And for that matter, Justin Bell. Justin Bell refuses to beat Chuck. Justin Bell, Chuck's very special friend. But they're flying out to see the Chuckbusters. The Chuckbuster Victory Tour is set to continue. Take a look at the preview there. We'll see how many guys Justin has on bye this week so we can correctly handicap. Looks like only one, only the Lions defense, which actually may help.
They actually help him.
And that at least won't be a negative for once. Chuckbusters, obviously, there's some injury issues there. Lamar Miller did get dinged up in that Patriots game. Steve Smith is out. Andrew Luck is at the center of Ribgate, which sounds like a tasty, tasty barbecue joint.
I understand the McRib is back in at certain locations.
It is back here in St. Louis. I have already had my one McRib meal, and I'm done. I'm out.
Have you reported it to the NFL yet, though?
I have. It was on last week's injury list.
Well, as long as it was, you're good to go.
I had my McRib on Saturday, and I was flat on my back for most of Sunday. So, yes.
Okay, right. Well, you're one up on Ryan Grigson.
Well, I mean, I'm just one up from that one instance.
Well, you could be two up because you haven't had your offensive coordinator fired yet.
Yeah, I would have actually done that about a year and a half ago.
You wouldn't have been dumb enough to hire him in the first place.
That's true. I do enjoy creating offenses when I have a dominant quarterback. I enjoy having offenses that involve passing the football. I like this. Real game of the week, Darklonia flying to Springfield. 5-3, taking on the Teal Ninjas at 6-2. Of course, we know Darklonia has, they've lost a couple, but they really haven't missed stride. They've thrown up 938 points to this point in the season as part of the Tom Brady F*** You Revenge Tour.
Revenge for what? I like how the comparison has Devontae Freeman with the checkbox over Todd Gurley. That cannot be right.
That is insane.
In real life, that is not right.
Devontae Freeman is going against San Francisco, so hold.
And Devontae Freeman gets in the end zone, which Todd Gurley, for all of his yardage, hasn't done that a whole lot yet this year. He's fantastic, but they haven't scored a whole lot with him.
Yeah, but the last two games, Todd Gurley has outscored Devontae Freeman. So.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Gurley's a beast, and it's just a matter of, I mean, that Minnesota defense is not going to hold up to Todd Gurley either. That's going to be a fun game, that St. Louis-Minnesota game, because we'll see Nick Foles handing off to Todd Gurley 30 times. We'll see Teddy Bridgewater handing off to Adrian Peterson 30 times, and we'll just count the bodies left a wake of destruction that those two backs carve into the field.
Count the yards after the first hit.
This is going to be a beatdown. I like the Rams in that one because of their defense, but yeah, this is going to be a fun game to see. We don't get too excited about Rams games even here in St. Louis, but finally Todd Gurley's got this town talking about football in terms other than relocation, which is kind of nice.
They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. No. No, I tend to agree.
We'll welcome next year the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes, and your L.A. Raiders. We also got a pyramid of touchdowns heading into Buffalo, or I guess I have to keep the old joke going. They're shuffling into Buffalo as the Wild Bills will try and keep pace with what's going on in the Dixon. I kind of feel bad, starting to feel bad for the Wild Bills as well. Chuck Oering, he's had some bad luck just in the league to begin with. He was a runner-up the first season, ran into the Uffman Express back when that meant something. And then he missed a season simply because we did a league with 16 guys and he was the 17th guy to get a hold of us. Like, he missed a season because of 12 hours. So I felt bad for him that year too. So now he's just on the cusp of all this madness on the outside looking in. He's the fourth best team in the league at worst, and he wouldn't come anywhere near the playoffs if they started today because the Hama sucks and I hate you all.
Hey, man, if you don't want to accept mediocrity as the best, get out of our division. Get out. just get out. We're mediocre reigns. Mediocre reigns.
Pyramid of touchdowns. Who they got on the bench there? Because obviously Russell Wilson won't be playing for them next week.
Ted Ginn Jr.
They do not have a quarterback.
We're going to have to go to the wire, boys.
Got to go to the wire.
Playing Everett might be a good pick.
There is some decent talent out there on the wire quarterback. Johnny Football is going to play, which kind of takes, unfortunately, the best quarterback on the wire actually was Josh McCown, in that he's been a pretty consistent scorer this year. Good luck, Josh Morgan. Good luck.
Famous Jameis.
You got to take a lap because the man's name is Crab Legs.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I do hear that Ryan Tannehill's on the trading block if you need a quarterback.
Is this the beginning of a What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football League rumors segment?
Well, the Ryan Tannehill's on the trading block, that's been out there for a while. That's what I hear. That's the rumor I started.
Secrets.
And then, of course, another big game. The Dreadnoughts flying to the East Coast, take on the RHBs. 5-3 taking on 6-2 there. Rock trying to get a little separation in the Dixon division.
CBS game of the week.
That's true. This is a big week. There's a lot of stuff going on. Unfortunately, it doesn't set itself up to be separation Sunday.
I agree.
It's setting it up to be back to the pack Sunday. So anyways, do we like Rock's lineup against the NFC West?
Right now, there are some bye slots that the Dreadhawks need to fill. Larry Fitzgerald, Earl Thomas. They don't even have a secondary flex player in the lineup right now, so they got to fill those in. Right now, all the RHPs have to worry about is replacing Jimmy Graham. And that's a pretty big replacement, considering you still got A.J. Green, James Jones, who catches an occasional long touchdown every game or so, and Andy Dalton, who really is no slouch of a quarterback so far this season. He's definitely holding up his end of the bargain.
I have to tip my cap, too. We've done the celebrity guest before, but Zach Hoffman's really playing the game. Like, he may have made more roster moves than any of you at this point. So Zach Hoffman is playing the game. We're happy to have him, even though we give him a little bit, just like everybody else. Lastly, the horror show taking on the Nanomites. A couple of 4-4 teams, although, you know, one of them comes from the other division, so it's not quite as compelling. As we've said a couple times, Debbie's on a roll, riding the Drew Brees train. Definite advantage there. Really, the horror show. Dude, you got to dial up some deals, man. Got to make something happen. He does have Benjamin Watson in the lineup, so good for him.
I hear Ryan Tannehill's available.
I hear Ryan Tannehill is out there. A little birdie told me. Paul Lynn that one up. So come on, Jamie Creech. Make it happen. Commissioner's desk is waiting to veto some trades. Let's go. So that's it for next week. For week 9, we'll be back again to review it when it happens. Any parting shots on the league or the NFL on the whole, Gary Godso?
Well, it was a day of change. As election day here in the United States, but here in Indianapolis land, it was a day of change because we finally got rid of Kemp Hamilton. We get Chudzinski, so we're going to see how well he does. Hopefully,
people do not remember him for that one very bad and brief stint he did at the Browns. He's a very good offensive mind. So let's see if he can put that offensive mind to work for a team so we don't have to be forced to run the ball all the time. We'll give him a couple weeks or so and see if that saves Chuck's job. I'm not quite sure if that's going to really save it, so we'll see. When changes are happening in Indianapolis, I think that's making the fan base happier here.
I don't think he was too bad in his stint in Cleveland.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, not his fault, and then they went and canned him after one season, but I don't think he was too bad in his stint in Cleveland. It can't get any worse than Pep Hamilton doing student body left three times and punting, as he would be wont to do, because apparently when you have a dominant quarterback in the NFL, you're supposed to run the ball a whole lot with mediocre backs and a bad line. Jamie Johnson, your thoughts on the NFL or the What's on Joe Mind League?
Is Carolina for real? It's 7-0. Are they for real? Or are they just simply that team that's 7-0 and will get exposed at some point against the real teams?
Yeah, I think there are some fundamental flaws with them. They don't have a lot of talent at the receiver spot, although they are better there than they have been in the last couple of years. Cam Newton is not the most accurate passer in the world, although he does some other things very well. They do run the football. That defense is legit. This is a really good team. This may be the best team in the NFC. Like, I wouldn't pick them over the Broncos. I wouldn't pick them over the Bengals. I certainly wouldn't pick them over the Patriots. Being the best team in the NFC might not mean a whole lot, even if they are. Because, let's face it, the Packers' offense has been stuck in neutral for about a month now. That's not just a bad week. That's starting to look like a trend. So, we'll see. I think they've at least earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to this point. And my thoughts, I hinted to it a little bit at the beginning of the show, or maybe it was pre-show even. The Saints and Giants had that epic shootout on Sunday. It was a whole lot of fun to catch pieces of it and listen to it. But man, when your quarterback goes out, pretty well cements his place in the Hall of Fame with a memorable game like that. Six touchdowns, 350 yards, just carving a defense to ribbons like that, like they're not even out there at all. And your defense is so bad that the other team still outscores you at the end of the night. Well, that's not a good team. And somehow the Giants right now are still the best team in the terrible NFC East. But am I ready to see Jason Pierre-Paul, a.k.a. Captain Hook, back in that football game? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because at least I know that there's one player out there that'll have to warrant some attention on the defensive side of the ball. It pains me to see a Giants team, the team of Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks and Harry Carson and Michael Strahan and Pepper Johnson and all these great defensive players. It pains me to see a Giants team that is this bad defensively. Wow. But congratulations to both of those gentlemen. That's a hell of a ball game. And certainly neither of them have anything to hang their heads about, because that was a clinic and just an entertaining football game as a football fan. So that's it for the What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football League. Thanks so much for listening to our 40 minutes of crap. We will be back next week, as said before, for my co-hosts, Gary Godso and Jamie Johnson. Remember our motto.
Beat Chuck just by playing.
There we are. Good night, everybody.